Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
It sounds... Good afternoon, folks. Jeff Johnson from the Gazette here, along with KJ Pilcher and Jeff Linder for the final Prep Huddle Prep football podcast of the 2025 season. It's championship Thursday / Friday. Everything starts tomorrow. We got three games on Friday, and then it's time for hoops and wrestling and swimming and all that other kind of stuff. So let's just run through the finals and let's go through it that way. We've got the Gazette area has three teams playing for state championships. So three of the four won. The only one that didn't was Solon, which fell to Nevada last weekend in the Class 3A semifinals at the Uni Dome. Everybody else won. Let's start out tomorrow morning, bright and early, 9:30. At the Uni Dome is the 8-player championship between number one Algona Garrigan 12-0 and number two Woodbine 11-0. We don't necessarily have to talk in depth about these games that don't include our coverage area teams. So, how about just a prediction? Who's going to win the 8-player championship?
I've had Woodbine number one all year. I'll stay with them.
Pilching?
Either one are capable, obviously, unbeaten to this point. I'll just use the same rationale as Lindy did and if that is going to Garrigan number one. So I'll say Bears.
I'm going Woodbine because you don't see very many Division I recruits at the 8-player level, and Woodbine has one in Landon Bloom, the wide receiver. So, and he's a stud. So that's the only reason I'm going with Woodbine. Class A then at 1 o'clock is MMCRU and St. Ansgar. That's number one against number two, both 12-0. I'll start this time. I am going with MMCRU. They just look like an unstoppable force. Keep it in mind, St. Ansgar's is obviously a great team too.
Go ahead, KJ.
That's St. Ansgar number two. Hans Hancock did advance us. So they looked solid against Wapsie Valley 31-7. I know MMCRU beat West Sioux 28-0, but I'll just go with the team I had for St. Ansgar. And no, that's not a parochial school, people, by the way.
and neither is Martinsdale St. Mary's.
That's right.
I'm gonna go with Marcus and Company as well. We'll go MMCRU.
By the way, not that it means anything. We have, seven classes, and in six of them we have at least one parochial school playing, or private school. So,
Before we go on, we're talking Remsen. A lot of good thoughts going up that way with the Remsen St. Mary's girls basketball team involved in a really, really bad crash after a scrimmage on Saturday. Not sure how that's going to affect their season. I've heard there are several girls that have that are still. I don't want to say in bad shape, but there's some long recoveries ahead in this, and just a lot of good thoughts up that way.
Yes, prayers up to everybody up in the Remsen area. No doubt about it. So. We'll run Class 1A then at 4 o'clock tomorrow is number one West Line, number three Iowa City, Regina, both 12-0. Regina ended Grundy Center's 50-game win streak last week in the semifinals in pretty convincing fashion. KJ, you saw that game, and I'm going to let you talk a little bit about what you saw, and then you can throw your prediction in there.
I'm really impressed with Virginia, what they were able to do. Not a perfect game by any means, but, man, the second half, they stuck to the ground game and really took control. I think it was 13-10 at half. If I can remember correctly, then they went with Savion Miller, two big drives, run heavy, on the play calls. And that's where they really kind of pulled ahead and really, took control. And if they can do that against West Lyon, which might be a little bit of a different, task, that's huge. And I think Kyle Tracy said it best when he said, you know, this is an offense that if you want to focus on taking away the pass, you've got Miller and Tracy, and you can pound the ball, and they'll burn you that way. If you want to stuff the box and, you know, try to focus on the run, they've got guys like Tate Wallace and Drew Greve and Tracy that can burn you that way. So they're a very balanced offense. They showed it and showed that they could really lean on the run if they need to. You know, their defense did well. They had a nice game plan. I think they picked off Judd Jarofsky three times in that semifinal game. Greve had two of them. So this is a pretty complete team, and they really, I don't want to say dominated Grundy Center, but there's, you know, sometimes when you walk away from a game, you kind of wonder, okay, did the team win that one, or did another team lose that one? It was no question that Regina won it. You know, West Lyon looked solid against South Hardin as well, so. You know, folks like Easton DeYoung and, you know, those guys, they're, you know, Evan Hildring, they're going to be ready to play. But, yeah, I just like Regina. I'll stick with Regina, especially after the semi.
Yeah. I think West Lyon's the favorite. And I'll pick West Lyon, but boy, I would have absolutely picked Grundy Center over Regina and been made a fool of there. So I'll go West Lyon in a close one, but I sure wouldn't be surprised if I'm wrong.
Wrote a story. It'll be posted here in a few minutes on Regina. It's 16 seniors. It has actually 14 seniors. I beg your pardon. When they were in middle school, this class went 1-11.
Oh, wow.
And as Kyle Tracy, one of the seniors, pointed out, we lost most of those games by 40 to 50 points. Wow. So what a turnaround, right? And obviously it fits, you know, the classes under them are very good, especially the junior class, right? And what Tracy said was we had the skill in our class, we had no linemen, we had no size. And then that's kind of where the junior class maybe and some of the sophomore classes kind of come in to fill that out. So hope you read that. It's really interesting. And West Lyon is a very big football team. Averages like 250 or so, I think, up front. Has one of their linemen is like 6'6", 290, going to University of Sioux Falls, which I think is a D2 school. Then they have another lineman who's been offered by Iowa State. He's just a junior. So this game could go anyway, either way, nothing would be a surprise. But I'm with Jeff. I don't know. I'm just flipping a coin. You know, you're a state champion until you get beat, I guess. And, Regina took Grundy last week, one state champion from last year, and now it gets a chance at another one. Yeah. And West Lyon just dropped 2A to 1A. So, I don't know. Flip a coin. It lands on West Lyon this time. And I flip it again when we're done, and it'll land on Regina. So let's go to Class 4A. 7 o'clock game then tomorrow night is number 1 Cedar Rapids Xavier, number 4 Pella. Xavier 12-0, Pella 11-1. Pella very impressive over beating Sergeant Bluff Luton last week. Just a very, very solid ground game. Emmanuel Dyers did a great job on the ground, and they just kind of took it to SBL. And then Xavier Newton was fortunate enough to be able to see that. Xavier 35-28. What a great football game. Two teams with playmakers all over the field. My goodness, Newton had playmakers. And it just came down to a last set minute, last 30-second defensive stop for Xavier. Otherwise, we were headed for potentially overtime, although I think if Newton had scored the touchdown with under 30 seconds left, probably would have went for 2 points in the win because they were not stopping. They were not stopping Xavier. So another Xavier-Pella championship matchup, right? I think we've seen this before, boys. So what do you think?
I just think it's Xavier's year. I'll stick with that. I've stuck with that for a couple weeks. I think they're winning it until somebody proves me wrong.
KJ?
This Xavier team, one of the things that I'm kind of focusing on this preview, you mentioned the story. Just mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of talented skill players on this team, but I kind of turn the focus on the offensive line. I think that's one of the biggest improvements from a year ago. You know, this is a team, they brought three starters back. Any coach will tell you, you know, everything starts with the guys up front. And Cash Parks is able to make his pinpoint throws because he's not running for his life or getting put on his back every play or every other play. They have time to be able to get Ryan Kelly in space or run things for him, or Carter Hoffman has alleys because of those guys up front. Not very big, just about every matchup there. They're the smaller group, but they have a tenacity to them. They play bigger than their frames, a very unified group that they know what they do, and they focus on their strengths, and they do that well. And a lot of it the thing I thought was interesting was Reggie Schulte, quarterback by for a number of years, is the guy that works with them pretty much. And he said this is a really smart group. And they put up a lot of success. Now they're going to have a huge challenge with another unit that's bigger than the Saints. Xavier put up 2,100 yards in passing and 2,400 yards in rushing for a reason, and a lot of it stemmed from those guys up front. So we'll see if they can continue that success against a Pella team that, you know, has played very well defensively, especially haven't given up more than two scores in the last six or seven games. But I think maybe Newton game. I'll go with Xavier just because, but I think this is going to be one of those white knuckle games that are going to come down to, you know, one of those drives inside 4 minutes to go.
I came away from watching both games last week thinking that Newton Xavier game was for the championship, and Newton was that good. And, you know, Newton had a loss in the regular season, but I did not realize it was a game that they lost with quarterback Caleb Klein affected with a leg injury that took away his running ability. And anybody that saw them play Xavier last week knew that that's a humongous part of Klein's game. And he's got an offer to play at Army. He's a tremendous player. You know, arguably the best quarterback I saw this year, quite frankly, coming out of that game. So I think Xavier wins this, and I think Xavier wins it by 2 scores. So
okay.
No pressure, Saints. No pressure. So let's turn to Friday's slate. We've got 3 games, starting with Class 2A, 10 a.m., Carroll Kuemper 12-0, Van Meter 10-2. No question about it, Kuemper is the heavy favorite. Batting the quarterback last week in the semifinals, threw 6 touchdown passes, if I remember correctly, and like 380 yards or something like that. So Van Meter has the tradition, the history, but it would stun me if Kuemper doesn't win this game. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Kuemper.
Moving on to Class 3A, we got at 1 p.m., Sioux City Healing 10-2, Nevada 10-2. KJ, you saw Solon and Nevada, and I know came away impressed, sure very did. Much so with Nevada, which knocked off Clear Lake, which we thought was nearly unbeatable in the semifinals, or the quarterfinals, excuse me, and then came in last week and just took it to another great football team in Solon. So what do you think about this game, you know, considering everything that you saw last week?
They've got some good playmakers, but, man, it was just hard not walking away from that Nevada-Solon game, just thinking that the Cubs, you know, this knocking off Clear Lake was a surprise. Seeing the way they dominated Solon for the most part, that was something that was unexpected. But now I don't know if they can't surprise you. Just so impressed with them. Their defensive front was dominant. They got a lot of pressure on the edge there. Cameron hardly had any time to be able to let routes kind of play out. And they were dominant and with the run defense. I mean, I think Solon rushed the ball like 18 times for 3 yards. When was the last time that ever happened, regardless of who they were playing? They run the ball really well. You know, Coach Lucas Satton from Solon before the game talked about how Nevada has a very methodical approach. It's a no huddle, kind of look at me, play call. So they take their time, and they have a real strong run game with Austin Madera, who rushed for 233 yards and a touchdown. You keep that Drake Hinton is somebody that can keep the ball and run it. And, he was effective on the ground, 45 yards and 2 scores. So with a defense that doesn't give up much and an offense that can just grind and grind out drives and pound the ball, that's a pretty good formula this time of year. So I know Heelan's athletic. They can score some points, but I just like Nevada after seeing what they could do against arguably two of the top teams in the class in back-to-back weeks.
Jeffrey?
Boy, I don't know.
Who are you picking?
Can Nevada rise up a third time and do it? And maybe we need to stop thinking of them as an underdog in this game. Maybe it's a coin flip. Maybe they're the team to beat. I suppose I'll go Nevada as well.
I'm also going to throw this out there too.
To the Cubs, everyone.
We're special teams. Their kicker, Gavin Eglin, he made some really impressive field goals against someone. One was, I think, a 45-yarder with plenty of leg. He had another 42-yarder that was a little bit shorter but still good. I mean, this was a guy that didn't make a field goal at all last year. And here in the semis, he's making 45-yarders without sweating it. So if that's something that might come into play, could be an advantage for Nevada as well.
I guess my only question is, do the Cubs ever win any big games?
That's since 2016.
Not since 2016.
I just think the way that Nevada's playing, and that's a great question, Jeff. Can they come up with a third straight great performance against a great team? I'm going to say yes, and I think, though this, I do feel this is a coin flip game. I'm going with Nevada to win what would I think be his first state championship. So
it was their first time.
And that brings us to the finale, Class 5A. Is that right? There you go. So Nevada's just east of Ames, if I remember correctly, right on the interstate. So Class 5A, the finale, 7 o'clock Friday night, is West Des Moines Dowling, 11-1. Iowa City Liberty, 11-1. Saw the Liberty game last week. Not quite sure the Lightning could have played much better. Yes, there were a couple mistakes. One that gave, in the semifinals, gave Waukee Northwest a touchdown, literally a fumble in the end zone. Then there was an interception out in the red zone as well. But other than that, had a great game plan, wanted to keep the ball away from Waukee Northwest and his high-flying offense, which worked perfectly. Short intermediate passes, runnings, you name it. It was just a great performance defensively too, as well. Liberty took away the two wide receivers from Waukee Northwest, Jordan Green and Isaiah Oliver, who have done so much carnage to opponents this season. Now you're going to see a different opponent, I think, in Dowling, which is way more physical, which beat West Des Moines Valley in the semifinals 14-7 last week in a game that got a little chippy with some post-game talking back and forth. I know there's no love between those two schools whatsoever. Can Liberty, match the physicality or enough, I guess, of Dowling on both sides of the football up front to break the Eastern Iowa drought in the biggest class? That's a great question. I'm going to leave it to you guys to say yay or nay, and then I'll throw my
I'm going to go first because I got to check out here real soon. Somehow Liberty's going to have to find a way to get a lot of stops, because I don't think they're going to be able to score a lot of points. Dowling doesn't give up much at all. Can they hold Dowling to 17 or less and give themselves a chance? I don't know. I'll say this though. They're not going to be scared. They've beaten Waukee. They've beaten Southeast Polk. They've beaten Waukee Northwest back to back to back. Is Dowling a different beast? I don't know. I'm going to go Dowling on tradition, but, I think Liberty's going to come out there and I think they're going to play well.
I was surprised that they beat Waukee Northwest. I didn't think they were going to get to this point. I thought we were going to have a Waukee Northwest Dowling final. I don't know. I just don't have a good feeling that they'll be able to overcome Dowling. Seeing them play against Valley and what they've done this year. Just like the Maroons, it's been a great season for Liberty. But I think Dowling go with Dowling on Friday night.
I'm picking Dowling as well. I think Liberty's going to have to play almost a perfect game in a sense. No turnovers. Can't afford them at all. Like I said, Dowling's just such a different type of team than Waukee Northwest. And that defense is really, really good. And can Liberty win? Absolutely. And I think at least in the first half, I think we're going to see a very tight game. But I don't know. I just wonder if Dowling size might just wear on Liberty as the game goes on. And, you know, as much as it'd be great to see the Lightning win, I'm going with Dowling as well. And what, the last champ, KJ, 2009, right? City High?
10 or 8? 2009 or 2010 was City High.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was the last. Maybe they beat
Marshalltown in the finals.
Yep. That was the game. That was the last school not from a suburban Des Moines, from suburban Des Moines that has won a state championship at the biggest school level. So, any rate, any last thoughts, Pilchy? It's been fun. It's been a fun season. Fast season.
Been a fun season, a lot of quality football, a lot of really good teams that we've gotten to see from 5A to 8 player. It just amazes me the level of talent that's out there. You know, obviously a lot of physical skills, but also the football acumen, the IQ that these players have now, their ability that, you know, they can make decisions in a split second that, boy, I tell you, they have evolved well past players that I remember playing against or with some 30 years ago. So it's just amazing how athletes get bigger, faster, stronger, smarter at this level. And it's been impressive and fun to watch.
For sure. That's a great thought, a great point. I think for a state this size or our size, Iowa's size, and considering it's predominantly a rural state, I think it holds its own with anybody.
You see that at the next level. You do.
Absolutely. And you look at, not going off on a tangent here, but look, American Rivers Conference has two teams in the D3 playoffs again. Coe and Wartburg, made up largely of Iowa kids. Upper Iowa had his best season ever. Number of Iowa kids on that football team as well. So
Upper Iowa is going to a bowl game.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep. For the teams that don't make the playoffs, they have 3 bowl games for teams. And they were chosen as one of the 6 teams to play in those 3 bowl games. Should have been in the field of 32.
Yep.
Biased opinion on that one. But, you know, there's at least maybe some consolation in being able to play in a postseason bowl game at the D2 level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, thanks for joining us all fall. It was a blast. Goes by way too quick. Winter sports is here, whether we're ready or not. Yeah, thanks for joining us all season on the Prep Huddle Prep Podcast. For Jeff and for KJ, we will sign off. Get up to the dome, support your favorite school, and certainly watch or we'll be tweeting away and writing stories on games all weekend. So thank you very much. And KJ, for the last time this season, take us out, baby.
My pleasure. Everybody, thanks for watching, and keep your head on a swivel.